Hi, my name is Brett Statham. I'm a Microsoft technical evangelist, and in this quick video, we're going to do an overview of Power BI and Alteryx and give you an overview of how they work together. So for an agenda, like I said, we'll just do a quick overview, and we're going to jump in and do some demos. So what is Power BI? Well, Power BI is an online service from Microsoft for creating and sharing data sets. And data sets are data that you might get from maybe SQL Server or an Azure SQL database or an Excel file or a CSV that came in through a partner or maybe a third-party service like SAP or MailChimp or Facebook or wherever. And being able to take that data, model it so that we can build reports on top of that. So those reports are full of visualizations, and those visualizations are charts and maps and tables and cards. And then we can take those key visualizations off of those reports and publish them up into broader reaching dashboards. And then finally, we can take these dashboards, reports, and data sets, bundle them up into content packs, and share those within our organization in a secure way. Because Power BI sits on top of Office 365, and that means that we can integrate our Active Directory credentials with it and allow secure access to these reports. Power BI Desktop, then, is a specialized tool that you can download from powerbi.com. You can get it in 32 or 64-bit versions. And basically what it does is it gives you the power of sort of the Power Star functionality that was in Excel, it still is in Excel, Power Query, Power Pivot, and Power View, and gives you sort of a focused tool for using those features to create your data sets, visualizations, and reports, and then being able to publish those up into Power BI itself. So I just mentioned that the sort of it's taking some of the functionality that's already available in Excel. And so we tend to get this sort of Power BI versus or Power BI Desktop versus Excel mentality. And I'll say it doesn't really have to be that way. It could be more like Power BI Desktop and Excel. You know, they can love each other. It's all good. So Power BI features were first exposed in Excel from a client technology perspective. And so, as I said, that was the Power Query and Power Pivot and Power View, you know, functionality. There's some issues with Excel around that, depending on whether or not your organization is already using the 32-bit version. You might want to get the 64-bit version so you can deal with larger data sets. Excel also has this fantastic plugin architecture, but that also means that the Power BI and sort of features were a little not as well integrated as maybe the Power BI team might have hoped. And it also required that, you know, Power BI people also be Excel users, whether or not they cared about all the additional functionality that's in Excel. Because Excel can do so much stuff. I mean, it's this amazing platform. And if I'm just trying to do the Power BI features, it can get a little overwhelming. So the Power BI Desktop tool is there to solve that. If you're already an Excel Power user, you can continue to stay and live inside Excel. But Power BI Desktop solve some of the problems around using Excel for that platform. You get a free downloadable either 32-bit or 64-bit version. You get a fully integrated design environment, so it's a very easy user interface to deal with. And it's there solely to focus on building data sets, visualizations, and reports that you can then publish up into the Power BI service. And it also gets to update a lot more frequently than the Office suite itself. So we can get a lot of functionality added to this very rapidly. So that also then brings up, what about Alteryx? So Alteryx has this amazing set of tools for sort of shaping your data from various sources, integrating with a number of features up in Azure, like machine learning, or some of the features coming in SQL Server 2016 with the integrated R capabilities and all that kind of stuff. And then being able to take the result of a workflow that you create in Alteryx and publish that up as a data set into the Power BI service, where it can then be consumed by visualizations on reports and placed into data sets and then shared internally through content packs. So Power BI is a great destination for the data that's coming out of your Alteryx workflows. So you can learn more about the integration with Alteryx and Power BI and really just the Microsoft stack in general. There's a link there on the screen. And there's a downloadable kit that you can grab if you're an Alteryx user to sort of add this functionality into your Alteryx client interface. The last thing I'll mention is that if you haven't signed up for Power BI yet, you could do that really easily if you just go to powerbi.com. And there's a big Get Started for Free button in there that you can click in to go get signed up. Now, when you do that, You'll need to use your work email address. Now, if you don't have a work email address, if you're just using Gmail or Yahoo or Microsoft accounts or whatever, then I've got a blog post that'll walk you through how to go set up a trial account in Office 365 that'll give you a way to create an email address that you can use for signing up with Power BI. Those social accounts like Gmail and Yahoo and Microsoft accounts, et cetera, at this time can't be used with Power BI. You need just a good old traditional business email address or one that's actually backed by Office 365. So again, my blog post there sort of walks you through how to get set up if you need it. But with that, let's jump in and do some demo. So over in my browser, I'm just going to go to powerbi.com. And that's going to bring me to sort of the Power BI landing page. And this is where I can go to read the documentation and learn all about Power BI and the pricing, etc. I can also sign up for a free trial here. Or if I already have an account, I can simply click on the sign in button to sign in. And since I've already authenticated here, it just brings me into Power BI. Now, if I already had data sets and reports and dashboards, I'd see them displayed over here on the left-hand side. But I'm coming into a clean account. And so really the first thing it wants me to do is go get some data. And I could do that by either going out to content that was already shared within my organization. So it could be that other people within my company have shared data sets and reports, et cetera, for me to go access or through some key services. Or if you have data off, for example, in an Azure SQL database or an Azure SQL data warehouse that you want to pull data into, you can do that as well. Now, I'll mention here that this is one place where the Power Desktop or Power BI Desktop interface gives you access to a lot more data sources than we have direct access to in the service, which makes sense because the server running up in Azure would have to have access to the data. And on-prem, if I'm running Power BI Desktop, I have access to a lot more data sources than a service running up in Azure is going to have, internally in my organization. So if you have to access local databases, et cetera, that might be a reason to go to the Power BI Desktop tool instead. Or use a tool like Alteryx to grab that data and export it so that you can pull it up as a file. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, right? So if I click on files, I see that I could pull files in from OneDrive or SharePoint, or if I just have a local file, I can do that. So that's in fact what I've got. This file here is the result of an Alteryx workflow that was run for me. So I'll just show it to you by opening it up in Excel. And basically what this data here is it's a number of tweets, social media responses about three different businesses. I've got the New Braintree Police Department, I've got a mortgage concepts business, and down here an L&T information technology business, right? And so these are just some tweets that people made about those businesses. And what the Alteryx workflow did is basically take those tweets and then ship them up into an Azure machine learning workflow to score the sentiment of the tweet. You know, was it good or was it bad? And so here I have this response score coming back here for me. And that's going to be a number somewhere between 0 and 1. And 0 meaning it was not a very positive, it was a somewhat negative tweet about the business, and a 1 meaning it was a pretty nice tweet about the business. So I can sort of, by looking at that number, decide whether or not people liked them. I can also learn a couple of things about where the tweet was coming from. So I actually have these lat and long columns that tell me where the tweeter generated the tweet from. And then I have also some information about the business. So the company name and its latitude and longitude. And then the Alteryx workflow was able to use that information to figure out how far the tweeter was from the business that they were tweeting about. So there's all sort of this data that I want to be able to visualize somehow. And so I've got that down here on my local workstation. In fact, let me just close the Excel file here. And back in the Power BI browser interface here, I'm going to click on local file, and then I'll browse out. And grab that CSV file that we were just taking a look at. So it's going to import that in. Then when it's done, it's going to open up the first report for me that I can build based off of that data set. So over on the right-hand side, I see all the fields that are coming out of that CSV that we were just looking at back there in Excel. And in fact, you'll notice that some of these fields have little sigma or sum operators or symbols next to them. And that's basically telling me that it sees those as measures or as values that can be aggregated, you know, sum, min, max, average, etc. All the other ones are non-numeric fields, or at least it doesn't recognize them as numbers. And so it can help me maybe count them. That'd be kind of the only aggregate that I could probably do on those. But I can also use them as details, like the company name. I can see the actual company names, etc. But remember that I had some latitude and longitude position for the tweets. And if I look at the visualizations, there's a ton of them. I've got, you know, column charts, bar charts, and line charts and pies and all that kind of stuff. But one of them is this map. So I'm going to click on the map visualization, and you'll see that it sort of drops this widget over here onto the design surface for me. And I can drag that around and position it where I want to. So I'll size it up here, have it take up a good portion of the page. And what I want to do is plot the location of the tweets that were coming in. So with that visualization selected, you can see all the places that I can drag data in to affect the look of the visual. So in my case, I'm going to grab the lat column and drag that down to the latitude property on the chart or the map. And lon is going to go up to the longitude. And so again, what that's going to do then is plot the positions that all the tweets came from. Now, I can also affect sort of the flavor of those dots. I can affect their size by dragging values down. I can affect how transparent or what their color saturation is by dragging a field into here. So what I'm going to do is grab this response score, which is a numeric one. I can tell that by the little sigma symbol next to it. And I'll drag that onto my values. And so now you can see that the dots have changed in size based on the score. Remember, the score was a measure of sentiment, and these are aggregated scores. In fact, in this case, it's summing them. I could change that to maybe be the average score if I wanted to. And so now I can sort of see the size of the dots based on the locations that they were coming from and their averages. So that's kind of cool. And I've got a way to visualize that map data here. Also mentioned that notice there's this little sort of formatting icon here. And this is going to let me play around with the colors that are used for the dots. In this case, I have a lot of individual data points, so it's probably not worth going through and coloring each one individually. But you can play around with those. You can also turn on the category layer, which again, in this case, is going to be not that interesting because it's a bunch of latitude and longitudinal data. But depending on what you were plotting, play around with these values here. So I'm going to go back now, and I want to add, I want to see the company names that are being tweeted about. So I could actually just drag the company name field here and drag it over onto to the report, and it's going to find sort of the best visual for that field. And in this case, it goes, oh, okay, well, you were sort of a non-aggregatable field, so we're just going to display your data as a table in this case. And that's interesting, but it's not that interesting in the case of just some company names here. What I actually want to do is use these company names as a way to filter the data that's being displayed on the map. And so to do that, we're going to change this visualization here, this visual from a table to what's called a slicer. And so that this little icon down here with a filter on it, that's my slicer visual. And so you'll notice when I click on that, then now all of a sudden the company names have little checkboxes next to them. And if I click on one of the checkboxes, the map is now filtered to show just the tweets for that company. And so I can now go through here and start to interact sort of with the slicer and affect the data that's being shown over there in the map. I want to add one more visual to this. So I'm going to go ahead and just drag the response score out. And in this case, it says, oh, you're a number. I'll just show you as a column chart. And again, I'll sort of reposition this up here. But since I said just show me the response score, but I didn't tell you how to break it down, it's just sort of aggregating all of the response scores together. So I'm going to tell it to break those down by their company name. I'll just drag company name over that, and it'll give me basically then the response score for each of those three companies. But I'm back to this situation that now when I click on a company name, now the column chart is also being filtered just like the map was. And the column chart with just a single column in it is not very interesting because it's the maximum of all the values currently being shown. So it's always going to be a column that's as tall as the chart. So what I want to do is actually turn off the filtering of this when we use this slicer. So this is the slicer whose behavior I want to modify. So with that picked, I'm going to change its visual interactions. So I'll turn on that button. And notice all of a sudden, you can see these filter icons pop up on the map as well as over here on the column chart. So the map, I'm going to leave the filter turned on. But on the column chart, I'm going to turn the visual interactions off. And now I can turn off the editing of visual interactions. And now you'll notice that as I change my slicer value, the map is being updated, but the column chart isn't. So the next thing you may notice is that down here, I currently have one page in my report. I can actually add additional pages and start to drag additional visuals onto them as well. So let me show you one other thing here about visuals. Let's, for example, say I pulled out a line chart. So I'll just click on that. And I'm actually going to position it to take up the entire page here. And let's say I wanted to show the response scores. And in fact, I wanted to plot every single response score. So I'm going to tell it to break that down by the user ID. So I'll drag that in there. So, all right. So there's all my different response scores coming out. And that's a line chart. I could play that different ways. I could turn it into a donut chart or bridge chart, whatever, different ones. Let me go back to a line chart. And let's say that, you know, I like the line, but I kind of wish they were, you know, was a smoother line. And so I can actually click on this ellipsis over here, and it tells me that I can import a custom visual from a file. And so where those visuals come from are from what's called the visuals gallery. So let me just open up another tab here, and I'll go to powerbi.com. And then on the support page, I'll go to documentation. And let me just search for custom visualizations. And I see this custom visualizations in Power BI. And I can read the documentation here, but it's letting me know that there's this Power BI visuals gallery. So I'll click on that, and this is going to actually take me off to this gallery of visuals that have either been created by Microsoft or have been contributed by third parties. And in fact, if you read the documentations, for example, up here, there's how to submit. They'll walk you through how to actually create your own custom visuals if you want to, so that you can add these into the gallery for others to use as well. But I can scroll through there. I've got waffle charts and box and whisker charts and a whole bunch of other cool ones there. I'm going to just pick, let's say, for example, the Sparkline one. And I can read documentation about it. I can see who created it. And then I can download the visual. And when I do that, I'll agree to the license agreement. It's basically just going to download it here as this PBViz file. So if I go open up the folder, open up on my other screen here. There it is. And I can see down here, you can see I've downloaded that one previously, but yeah, there it is. There's this sparkline.pbiviz. All right, so that's the Power BI visual. And what I want to do then is go import that. So back over to the Power BI interface here, I can click on that ellipsis again and tell it that, yes, I want to import one. And then I can basically point off to that downloads folder and find that Sparkline.pbviz or PBIVIZ. So I'll open that up. And now that Sparkline visual is available to me to use. And with the current visual selected, I'm just going to click on Sparkline to change it. And now I have a nice smooth line coming in there. So that's how I can use these custom visualizations. So that's pretty cool. So now I'm done sort of authoring this report. So I'll go ahead and save it. And I'll call this my Alteryx Power BI demo report. Beautiful name. And so now I see that shows up over here under reports. Now I could actually come in and create dashboards on this. So you'll notice my report actually has a number of items on it. And let's say that what I wanted to do is basically maybe include this map as a visual up on this broader reaching dashboard. So the idea of a dashboard is that I could pull visuals in from multiple reports. Maybe I have one on sentiment, but I have another one on maybe their website traffic or something else, right? Or, you know, income across the businesses. Although I know a police department probably wouldn't have income, but yeah, you get the point. And so I could come up here and make a dashboard ahead of time, or I can just kind of create one on the fly. If I click on this push pin icon that shows up over any of these visuals, it'll ask me, okay, you want to pin this to a dashboard, which one? And if you had an existing one, you could pick it. I don't have an existing one, so I'll just create a new one here. I'll call this my Alteryx Power BI dashboard. And pin this visual to the dashboard. And so now under dashboards, I have this new dashboard. Tell it to yes, go ahead and save that. And now I'm up here at this dashboard. And again, I could go through that process, pinning other visuals from as many reports as I wanted to up into this dashboard. You can reposition things. You can play around with how they're sized, et cetera here, and sort of create, you know, sort of this executive overview style dashboard. One of the other really cool things about this, though, is that we now have access to these natural query Q&A type questions that we can come in and start to ask. And so what this allows me to do is to basically enter, you know, a query. Maybe the way I would ask it is, you know, like show response score. And you'll notice as I'm typing this out, it's actually recommending things. In fact, it's already answered this query. So basically, this is going out and sort of finding, probably looks like in this case, the sum of response scores. I could probably ask it to show me the average response score. And there you go. It looks like on average, my sentiment is pretty much close to the middle. Remember, zero is bad and one is good. So my average is 0.056. But I could also come back here and say, well, actually, what I'd like to see is the company name by those response scores. And you'll notice that it's kind of building this query and visualization for me right here on the fly. So it's pretty cool to be able to do that, certainly play around with that. The more interesting and the more complex your data model is, I think the more powerful this query language becomes. Now, with a single flat data set, there's not much to explore there, but that's pretty cool. So at this point now, I've got this dashboard here. If I wanted to, I could actually go in and share this out internally within my organization if I wanted to here. But one other thing I wanted to show you about sharing, just as a way of sort of wrapping this up here, if I go back to reports, remember I had dropped this custom Sparkline visual in, so it's asking me to enable those custom visuals. So I'll go ahead and say yes. But up here under the file menu, you'll notice that we now, and this is one of the new features just recently added, have the ability to publish this report to the web, where I can actually publish this externally for public access, either by just giving people a link or even embedding it into, you know, a blog post or some other web page. So I'm going to click on that link here. And so the first thing you'll notice here is it's letting me know, okay, you know, we're going to publish a live version of this. It's going to remain synchronized with Power BI in the back end. That's all good. It wants me to create this embed code. So I'll go ahead and create the embed code. And I get this warning. It says, hey, you're about to create an embed code. Anybody that gets access to this link or goes to the page where you embed it is going to be able to see it. So make sure you mean to publish this externally here. So I'll hit publish. And again, it's really not out there until I give somebody this link. So it gives me an iframe that I can use to embed into a blog post. I can even pick the size here to create the embed code, or you can customize that after you paste it. Or I could just grab this URL. So I'm going to come up here and copy that URL. And just as a quick test, I'll go pull open, let's say, Chrome. And in fact, I'll go enter an incognito window in Chrome here. So I've gone incognito. Sorry, the way I did that, I just did a control shift N to open up a new incognito window. And that basically means I'm anonymous. Just, and this is just to prove that I'm not logging in as me, as Brett, that I'm coming in as just some average person off the internet. And I can paste in that URL. And I see Power BI loading up. And there's that custom report, and it's interactive. They can click and filter through the sites. I don't think I actually showed this over on the other one, but notice that I can also click on the map and have it go through and update the chart as well to sort of show me data that I'm selecting in there. So that's kind of cool. There's my second page with the custom visual coming in. So that's pretty powerful. This is a great way to be able to take data that you do want to be able to publish externally and make it available to others. So that kind of wraps up looking at, you know, creating data sets and reports and visualizations, et cetera, within the browser on the Power BI service. But I did mention earlier that there's another tool called Power BI Desktop. So if I were to go back here to just powerbi.com, you'll notice that under products, I have Power BI Desktop. There's also Power BI Mobile. And Power BI Mobile actually has versions of Power BI Client tool, not for authoring reports, but for consuming them for Windows, iOS, as well as Android. But I could come down here, Power BI Desktop, and I can download the tool and install it. So let me just show you that really quick. I'm not going to actually author any reports, but if I just, I've already installed it here. I've got Power BI Desktop, so I'll launch that. And so when it opens up here, it's giving me chances to, you know, open up past data sources that I've worked with, or open up reports that I've either already authored, or jump right in and start getting data. There's also some tutorials or links off to tutorial videos to help you get started here, etc. But if I were to actually just click on this Get Data, this is, I think, probably one of the first things that you'll see that's significantly different about trying to author reports up in the Power BI service in the browser. And that's this rich list of data sources that we can get data from. Remember, in the browser-based editor, I basically have access to data sets that have been published up into the service, or I can get data from local files, or I can go off to Azure-based data sources like Azure SQL Server or Azure SQL Data Warehouse, or maybe a Spark on Hadoop. But here you'll notice I can hit, you know, DB2 and Oracle and Access, and as well as, of course, the Azure targets. But we also have things like pulling data off web applications. Go find a web page that has a table in it and scrape the data out of that table. OData feeds, services like Dynamics CRM or Salesforce, or just good old RDBC, or sorry, I'm seeing R down there, good old ODBC, you know, connections through ODBC drivers, etc. So, you know, sort of the, I think you heard the term escape hatch if you need, you know, to go get data from somewhere. This is a place where you can jump out and go get it. So tons of data sources that we can get. But once I have pulled in a data source, you'll notice that the authoring piece of that looks pretty similar. I'm going to have a list of fields. I've got my visualizations. These are pretty much identical to the experience that you would have off in the browser. Where things start to change, though, is you'll notice that we have the ability to go in and edit the queries. We have the ability to change relationships in the models. We can pull data in from different data sources and create relationships between them. So I could get data out of a database and join that up to data out of a spreadsheet and join that up to data off of a web page, et cetera there. So a much richer modeling tool. And then once you're done creating that data set and maybe even some reports, you can then publish that, and that data set is now available up in the Power BI service. And then the last thing I'll show you is, remember I did mention there are those mobile tools. So I've already installed here on my workstation the Power BI mobile application. So here it is. I'm pulling this up. This is the Windows app. And it's actually already signed me in. I could sign out and come back in if you want to, but I'm just signing in with my Power BI credentials. And in fact, I see that Power BI dashboard that we created earlier, as well as that Power BI demo report. So if I pull that up, we'll see those data coming in with the map and the column charts and the et cetera. If I go to page 2, there's my custom visual. I'd actually opened this earlier and it did prompt me to confirm the custom visual, so I did that. But it looks just like the report, and you'll notice that this is a great way for an information worker, you know, the non-report author, the consumer of this report, to be able to come in and interact with these, you know, on their tablet device, et cetera. Well, hopefully that gave you a pretty good feeling of what Power BI is, maybe the difference between authoring reports in the Power BI service versus the Power BI desktop, and how users can come in and consume your reports and dashboards either through the browser or through tools like the mobile applications. So we did just sort of a quick overview. We talked what Power BI is. We talked about its relationship with Excel, as well as with tools like Alteryx. And then hopefully I gave you a pretty pretty good demo there. So I'll just wrap this up here. Some other resources, of course, remember the main URL for Power BI is just powerbi.com. I mentioned if you're having issues getting signed up for Power BI because of the limitations around using social logins like Google accounts or Microsoft accounts, there's a link off to my blog post there. And Alteryx, as we mentioned, has a lot of fantastic interactions with a variety of Microsoft tools, both SQL Server and properties up in Azure, et cetera. And you can learn a lot more about that if you just use the link there on the screen, alteryx.com/partners/Microsoft. And along with that, there's a bunch of webinars and demos that you can use to learn more about those interactions and how you can use Alteryx to take advantage of the Microsoft stack and Power BI.